It's all things life and love with an emphasis on healthy relationships. It's Real Talk with Dr. Rick on The Truth. Dr. Rick deals honestly and openly with issues affecting your relationships from a Christian perspective. And now, licensed relationship therapist and marriage coach, Dr. Rick Marks.
Welcome to Real Talk with Dr. Rick Marks of Live the Life Ministries, based here in Jacksonville, Florida. We are an initiative to strengthen marriages and families and help you live the abundant life heart that Christ wants for all of us. At Real Talk with Dr. Rick, we're going to engage in real talk around real issues and direct you towards real solutions. If you have a question or a comment, please go ahead and send us an email to realtalk@livethelife.org. That's realtalk@livethelife.org. Or check out our Facebook page at Real Talk with Dr. Rick. That's Real Talk with Dr. Rick on Facebook. Remember, you walked down an aisle? She was in that beautiful bridal gown and you were there. Or maybe you were in the bridal gown and he was there. You walked down that aisle and you stood there before your officiant and you gave your vows to each other. And part of those vows was until death do us part. Till death do us part. I remember 1984, February 25th. I was standing there on the side and a man who was like a father to me was my senior chief in the Navy. He was also a minister. And Tom was next to me. And then I saw Luella come in to the chapel there and walk down that aisle with her dad. And I had just lost my father 2 weeks before. So I was my wedding day was right after his death, and I was wrestling with the loss of my dad, and here's this woman that I love. And so I remember standing before her repeating my vows, till death do us part. Till death do us part. And yet I grew up in a home, and so did Luella, where those people said that, and it didn't happen. That's not to shame my parents at all. Things happen in life. I get that. It's not to shame you, because you've had a divorce in your life. But yet, we made a vow till death do us part. And you know something? That statement, based on the data today, shows it doesn't have much meaning anymore. Have you heard of the term gray divorce, like the color gray, like me with gray hair? Some people call it silver splitters. Some people like to use the term diamond divorcees. But the main term that people use today is gray divorce. Did you know that divorce is highest, almost 109% increase in divorce among couples 50 and older? That's right. Tipper and Al Gore's marriage of 40 years ended. Their marriage is one that people like to refer to, these long-term marriages that are ending. Long-term marriages, baby boomer marriages, are being thrown away at an alarming rate. And a study by the AARP way back a few years ago found that 66% of those divorces are initiated by women. It's women, the ones who are leaving. It's been given a name. It's called walkaway wife syndrome. And yet, the guys don't understand the walkaway wife syndrome. Sorry, guys, it's still true. It's related to us. And women, who are typically the barometer for the health of a marriage, she can sense when things aren't going well, that we're not connecting, that I'm not feeling the love from you. You know, that old song, you've lost that love and feeling. They can feel that. They can sense it. And so they're trying to connect to us. Sadly, though, we only hear it as nagging. We hear it as complaining. What she's really saying is, I'm not connecting. I'm not connecting. We are not connecting. We need an us, and we don't listen. And so eventually, over time, they quit complaining. They quit complaining. And so because he no longer has heard complaining for a while, he thinks everything's great. Everything's wonderful. But what he doesn't know that he doesn't know is she's actually planning an exit strategy. That's right. When the kids are old enough and out of high school, then I'm gone. She'll put money aside. from her job. She may find someone else. But she is planning the exit strategy. And when the exit strategy is in place, she implements it. Now, you got to picture this, folks. Let's kind of picture how this is. She hasn't complained about the marriage in a long time. So he thinks everything is wonderful. He's been out playing golf one Saturday, comes home. She says, hey, great to have you back. I need to talk to you. He says, sure, what? She then says, I want a divorce. These men are shocked, research shows. They're shocked. They're like, what do you mean you want a divorce? I didn't know we had a problem. And then he asks a question that nails the coffin shut. The question's in this former format. Honey, I didn't know we had a problem. And here's the question. Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you say something? And in that moment, all the years of repressed hurt and repressed anger come rising to the surface. And he's going to hear something like, tell you? Tell you? I've told you for years and you've not listened. She's gone. And rarely does the walkaway wife come back. And it's because, men, we did not listen. And the AARP study is picking up that it is mostly women walking away in later life from these marriages. Not usually the men. But it's the men that are driving this. It's called walkaway wife syndrome. I encourage you to read more about it at divorcebusting.com. Divorcebusting.com is an article there by Michelle Wiener Davis, a leader internationally and in this country around saving marriages. And she has a phenomenal article about it. Read it. What if you're a walkaway wife? You're a walkaway wife and you're listening to me right now and you're like, yeah, that's it, Rick. That's it. That's exactly where I am. Here's what the research also shows. And I'm sad to say that it took you getting to where you are and him getting to this point for him to want to change. But the research shows that most of the time it's in that moment he will do whatever it takes to change. And sadly for her, nope, it's already done. I'm already on medication. I've gained weight. Whatever it is, I'm done. And now you want to change? The answer is no. The answer is no. You didn't care enough before. I don't trust you to care enough now because now I don't care. I have seen that so many times. We have seen that so many times here at Live the Life. And this is why we offer programs to help walkaway wife couples rebuild and reconnect and have hope again. They can make it. We know that. But this whole phenomenon of gray divorce is rather interesting and fascinating when we look at what's happening in the culture. And so why is this? What is this happening today? You see, nobody walks down an aisle to get married hoping that they get divorced one day or thinking to get divorced. We all actually walk down the aisle with the idea you're the one. You're the person I want to spend my life with. And so there's this great sense of love and goodwill and this you're the person that I want. And then reality starts to set in. You start to learn things about them you didn't know before, or you start to experience patterns in them that you weren't sure about. And then you didn't know they had an anger problem. Well, actually, you didn't know it. You just didn't want to accept it for what it was when you were dating. And, you know, and so we have this sense of illusion of who this person is. Like, I had this illusion of Luella. She had this illusion of me. And then, you know, within a year in the marriage, I realized, oh, my gosh, she's trying to control what I eat and how much I eat. She won't even let me be me in my faith. I have to be what she wants me to be in my faith. And then you start to feel controlled, and then you're like, you're pushing back, and you're in the power struggles. And the illusion of what you thought the marriage was going to be and all those things starts moving into disillusion. Disillusion. Now you start to wonder, well, does he or she love me? Do they care about me? Am I important to them? And sadly, a lot of couples live in that disillusion and confusion for many, many years. And when you live in the disillusion and the confusion for many, many years, the feelings of love start to dissipate over time. You'll get them back at like loops, you know, like on an EKG machine. You might get them back every once in a while. But for the most part, no, you don't. And you spend more time not feeling the love than feeling the love. And eventually, when one person convinces the other that you really don't care about where the relationship is, you don't really care about me, you don't, we say it in our world, you don't care about us, you care about yourself, that person is going to walk out of your life. And here's the thing. Baby boomers are doing it. 109% increase for couples over 50 in divorce. It's called gray divorce. Now, why? Why? This is the generation that grew up under a culture that basically shunned divorce. They're ones that this is the generation I grew up in. Divorce was not, there is not something you did. When my parents divorced way back in the 60s, that was not even good. And my mama being Catholic, I mean, it wasn't good for her because it cost her in that for many, many years, the church would not let her receive communion until a priest finally gave her grace and said, it's time again. You see? And so there were penalties back in those days. Well, one of the reasons is these couples have lived disconnected, disenchanted, disenfranchised with each other. They don't have a lot of connection anymore. They stayed together for the kids or for whatever reason. Same time, though, the kids are gone, most of them. You're on the tail end. They're leaving high school. You're close to the empty nest. And the empty nest is the second highest divorce rate. The first highest divorce rate now is in the first 5 years of marriage. So you're at the empty nest. You really don't know each other anymore, and you don't want to be around each other anymore. And one person decides to leave. Why? Because, folks, the divorce culture, which really ramped up in the 70s, the divorce generation has produced a generation today where divorce is no longer a big deal. So what? Divorce, move on, get another one. And that's where we are today. That taboo of divorce is no longer an issue. It's no longer an issue. Now, let me say this from the outset before I get a lot of, mail. Lived a life. We are pro-marriage and we are anti-divorce. However, let me say this. We recognize that there are some relationships that are going to fail. And we recognize some relationships do not need to be together, such as violent relationships and relationships where there's severe alcohol and drug use. And yet, the most divorces that happen today are not about those issues. They're about people who just kind of lost the love. They lost the feeling. They're living for themselves. What was it? A religious ruler asked Jesus once. They said that Moses permitted divorce. What do you say? And I love Jesus' answer to them. He said, yes, Moses did. He said, but it was because of the hardness of your hearts. You see, a hardened heart ultimately is about yourself. It's where you're not getting what you want, so you become resentful or bitter. And in the hardness of your heart, you're not able to think about us. You're not able to live for us because people with hardened hearts only live for themselves when it comes to relationship. This is why we teach in our world that the most important part of marriage is not the husband and not the wife. It's the us. When us wins, you both win. But it takes maturity to live for us. It takes a little maturity to live for yourself. We kind of do that just naturally, don't we? We just live for ourselves. And marriage today is more about happiness. And if I'm not happy, then I throw it away and go find someone else. But we also now know through research that the more marriages you have does not mean the greater success rate. The more marriages you have is the greater the risk for divorce. The risk of divorce goes up the more marriages you have. So gray divorce people are people who've been married more than once, or they got married later and they've had fewer years of marriage. All right. So if you've had multiple marriages, you're higher risk for divorce. We know that. And if you got married later, and if you have a shorter term marriage, but you married later, you're high risk for divorce. Why? You've been independent for a long time, and now you've got to live for someone else, and that's a big transition. I got married when I was 22 or 23. My wife is about a year and a half older than me. She always said to me, "I'm older than you." Would tell people, "I got one young, so I can train them," and I would always say back, "Yeah, well, I'm more mature." So, little fun places, things like that we used to do when you're younger. But reality is, we were both immature. We both had our woundedness. We both had our own struggles. And we had to learn to grow together. We had to learn to face the world together. We had to learn that what's most important in this marriage is not her or me, it's us. And when us wins, we both win. But humility was required for that. When you move to humility, you can start thinking about not just me, but her. What's it like for her being married to me? I mean, someone asked me a long time ago, the way you act and the way you are, particularly in conflict, would you want to be married to that? Would you want to deal with you? And if I was honest about it, I'd say no. Then why would she? Or as one of my mentors said to me a long time ago, you want to know why Luella is the way she is with you? And I kind of spouted back. It was well over 20 years ago when I said this. And I spouted back, yeah, because she grew up in an alcoholic home. And Dr. Gordon said to me, Rick, have you ever considered that Luella is the way she is with you because you trained her to be that way based on the way you are as a way of being? Let me tell you something. I had to really think about that one. And what I found out was and realized was she was right. Dr. Gordon was right. I trained Luella to be the way she is with me because of how I was. Manipulative, whining, you know. I was passively aggressive because I was never going to be an overtly aggressive person. So I'm passively aggressive. That doesn't endear people to you. It's like, grow up, Rick. You know, be a healthy, mature adult. But yet I knew if I continued the journey, I could be like my parents and perpetuate divorce. A lot of divorces in our generations. I was going to stop a generational sin curse of divorce, destruction, unhealthy relationships. But I did not know what to do. And that's the key. I did not know what to do different. And so I went out and I sought out the experts. I learned how to communicate, how to emotion regulate, how to speak the truth in love. I learned how to be slow to anger, quick to hear, and slow to speak. I learned how to be angry and not sin. I learned those skills. And once I had those skills down, I could then repeat those skills. You see, folks, most people, what I've learned is they don't know what to do to get where they want to be. It's not in their knowledge base. So they do what they know to do, and they go to therapy. But therapists don't tell you what to do. They give you insight into why you are where you are. But in the end, you got to know what to do different. And it takes two to make an us and one to kill it. And my wife and I learned what we needed to do different. And we valued each other. We loved each other. And we were not going to let the love we had for each other be destroyed by the conflict that we had. We learned to regulate conflict. We learned to make sure that we as a couple dealt with conflict together, that we did not deal with conflict in opposition to each other. We learned to attack conflict together as a team. And it's because of that, it's 34 years of marriage, and I am gray, and I'm 56. I love being married. I love my wife. I love being with her. She loves me. And we have a strong marriage. We were not going to pass on this curse of divorce and brokenness to our children. Wasn't going to do it. And I'm proud to say we have not. I intend to spend the rest of my days with my best friend and bride, Luella, because I made a covenant way back there to her, not just to God, but to her as well. I'm in this for the long haul. She made that covenant to me, and we lived that out. Sadly, in gray divorce, the baby boomers have lived distant and disconnected, no sense of us, for a long time. And because the divorce taboo is gone in the culture today, divorce becomes a lot easier. It's gone in churches. It's gone in churches. Even though churches talk about it, let's be honest, churches will talk about healthy marriages, but they won't talk against divorce because they don't want to be offensive. Jesus talked against divorce. He just did it in a respectful way. But when you don't talk against divorce because you're afraid of being offensive, because there's so many divorced people out there, you do them a disservice by talking about here's the damage it causes and here's an inspiration for you to do better in the next marriage. You see, you can talk against divorce in a respectful way. You don't have to be afraid of the subject. Just do it with love and goodwill. Jesus did. Remember what he said. Let me finish it up. Moses permitted divorce because of the hardness of your hearts. And then Jesus said this. But in the beginning, and meaning back there before the fall, in the original relationship between Adam and Eve in the garden, but in the beginning, it, meaning divorce, was never meant to be. You see, God does allow for divorce because he understands that in a sinful world, some relationships are not going to make it. They're not. I get that and I can respect that. However, are we to live our lives when we get married hoping to not divorce or just deciding we're not going to? And the way that I ensure that I'm not going to divorce is I learn the skills, I learn the tools, and I learn and I grow and I mature to become the healthy adult man that's supposed to be, that Luelle becomes the healthy adult woman that she's supposed to be, so that we together could build the marriage that God wants us to have, one that is loving, that is thriving, that is a very strong us, where God is at the center, and we love each other with Father's heart. You see, to me, that is what we're all wanting to live and experience. It's what our kids want from us. They're looking for that. But if we don't live that out, particularly those of us in the church, if we don't live that out in front of them at home, and yet every week you go to church and you teach Sunday school or whatever, you understand there's a credibility issue. Because if what you teach and live out in public at church is not the same person you are at home, your kids are smart enough to know that you don't believe it either. You don't believe it either. Look at the way you treat mom. Look at the way you treat dad. You see, folks, gray divorce is becoming a very part of culture. It is very much where we are in this country. You're there and you're going, that's me. I've been married 30-plus year marriage. We're distant. We're disconnected. We've gone to counseling. Nothing's happened. Well, I'd like to encourage you. You might say, well, my relationship's just dead. The marriage is just dead. I'd like to encourage you. You see, I've learned one thing about the Bible. The Bible's good at doing one thing really, really well: resurrecting dead things. And because the Bible's really good at resurrecting dead things, Jesus spoke the word to a man who'd been dead, Lazarus, for 3 days. Lazarus come forth, and Lazarus comes forth. The word was spoken to someone who's physically dead. So if the word of God can resurrect someone who's physically dead, and the word of God can resurrect someone who's spiritually dead, then I am just silly enough to believe that the word of God can resurrect a dead relationship. That's right. It can resurrect a dead relationship because the word of God resurrects dead things. Now, you got to know how to get the love back. You got to know how to reconnect. You got to know what are the skills and tools to get you there, and what are the skills and tools to rebond you so you can get the loving feelings back. And that's what we do. You see, we think we have a monthly seminar intensive for up to 8 couples called Hope Weekend. The Hope Weekend is 3 days. Usually it's the third weekend of every month in our office. And this is for couples who are in high distress. They've lost their loving feelings, separated, and or divorcing. 85% of the couples that went through Hope Weekend who were in divorce court years ago, 85% were still married 1 to 2 years later. Why? I tracked them. But here's the most important. You don't have to throw it away. But what's different in Hope Weekend is this. In Hope Weekend, we do not do therapy. It is an educational process to teach couples how to rebond, how to communicate, how to listen, how to get the love back. And they do, the majority. It gives you hope again. You can make it. So I would say, you're sitting there listening to me going, it can't happen. Let me ask you a question. Is there any part of you left? I don't care if it's a 1% part. Is there any part of you left that wonders whether your marriage can make it, or, and what are that, and even if it's a 1% part, is that 1% of you, does that 1% of you still care about your marriage and still wonder if you can make it? If that's true, then I would say, then why don't you give us 100% of that 1% for 3 days, and let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. Let's create for you the marriage you've wanted, so you can have that marriage till death do you part. So you don't have to be a part of this statistic of gray divorce. You see, folks, marriage rates have dropped. People are waiting longer to get married, but the long-term marriages are failing at an alarming rate. You want to know why millennials don't marry? They've seen no good examples of marriage. They've seen no good examples of healthy marriage. What they do mostly know are kids and friends from divorced homes. Hope Weekend at Live the Life is designed to give you hope again that you can make it, and then we'll support you. So I always like to say, it isn't therapy, but it's really therapeutic. You see, folks, the things in Hope Weekend I learned in my journey of growing and healing and maturing. I raised my children on those skills. Why? Because I wanted my children to have the ability to deal with conflict in healthy, mature ways, to regulate their brain in a way so they can deal with conflict maturely without being destructive, so they can speak the truth in love, so they can be slow to anger, quick to hear, and slow to speak. I wanted them to have the ability and the skills to live that out. Why? Because nobody gets married to get divorced. Nobody gets married to be miserable. Nobody gets married to live this sense of, I'm sick of you. Folks, here at Real Talk, we believe that any marriage can be saved if both people want to do it and are willing to fight for their us. We're here for you. Give us a call. Reach out to us on Facebook at realtalklivethelife.org. realtalklivethelife.org. Look forward to talking to you next week.
Healthy living, healthy relationships. This has been Real Talk with Dr. Rick on The Truth. Feel free to let us know what's on your mind. Email us at realtalk@livethelife.org and join the conversation by liking Real Talk with Dr. Rick on Facebook. We hope you can join us next Saturday at 1:30 for another edition of Real Talk with Dr. Rick on The Truth.